A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
Let's talk careers on Money FM 89.3. For that, I'd like to welcome back Adrian Chu, the career strategist, author of the 2015 book Career Crossroads. Good to see you. So let's talk about what's going on in the world of careers. And today, Adrian, you are actually speaking about something that is very interesting to me. Five things to consider before accepting a transfer overseas. And this is something that a lot of us face during the course of our careers.
Yeah, especially now when everything's so global. And, you know, Singapore market is just too small. And it's when you realize that, you know, well, maybe some overseas exposure might be good for my career.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's something that can really take a career forward or it can provide a setback.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a high-risk move, isn't it?
It is a high-risk move. And there are many things to consider. And I think often we're very focused on our careers, you know, especially for a guy. We're just thinking about our careers. And we don't always consider all the other parts of life and not just family life, but, you know, lifestyle and, I guess, recreation, everything.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a whole package which you need to think about. It's not just physically moving from out of Singapore, but it's a lot of other factors we need to think about when it's a big career move like this.
Yeah, okay. Let's go through the 5 points as you do every week. You give us 5 points. All right, point number one, what's the real reason why you'd accept it? We're talking about five things to consider before accepting a transfer overseas.
Yeah, you need to ask yourself, why am I moving out of this place? Why am I going to that country? Is it because it's a better opportunity? Is it because there's a division there that's growing faster than in Singapore? Or is it just good for your career to have an overseas exposure and to mix around with a different crowd and accelerate your career? Or are you just moving there because you hate the department in Singapore? You want to get out?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe. I have this client of mine who 8 years ago moved out of Singapore because she had some personal problems in Singapore and she decided to move out just because she didn't want to be around in Singapore.
Mm.
Yeah, so it didn't turn out very well because it was a very hasty decision.
Right, yeah. Sometimes we realize we take our problems with us even though we physically change locations, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, point number two. Does it help your long-term career? Is it in your career strategy?
Yeah, because a lot of times, based on what we were saying about earlier, if it's an emotional move, then you have to be careful about it. But you got to ask yourself, is this move a good one for my career? For instance, if there is an exciting new startup in your organization, a little new skunk works where they're going to try something different, and it may seem like a great opportunity to go there and try out new things and everything. But what if it's, in the bigger scheme of things, it's just a pet project of some
hobby project,
yeah,
of some
correct,
boss,
yeah,
right?
Some boss, right?
Yeah.
And you go over there, you pack up and you move there. After a year and a half, it doesn't take off and they shut down the whole department and you're out.
You could be out of a job.
You could be out of a job.
Yeah.
So you need to find out, you know, does it help your long-term career?
Mm.
Or if they decide to have an overseas posting and you go, I need an overseas posting in my career somewhere, but it's being posted to some third world, really far out, some
yeah,
outpost, right?
Yes.
And does that really qualify as an overseas posting? So you got to be mindful of all this, and you got to think also in terms of your career strategy. You know, if you want to be known in the long run to be, for instance, the global guy, then a global move move overseas will be good. But if you want to be known as an APAC guy and you have a little limited runway left in your career if you're in your 40s, then do you want to spend the next 5 years somewhere in Uzbekistan?
Or apologies to the Uzbekistan listeners out there.
Lovely place, I heard. But in terms of being far away from where all the decision-making is, right?
Mm.
So you have to see, is it in line with your career strategy? What do you want to be known as? If you want to be known as the global guy or maybe the regional guy, then you got to see where you're heading for.
Very important. And, you know, I think it depends on where you are in your career. You know, you mentioned the 40s. Or even older, you know, when I was a youngster, a young journalist in Australia, they posted me and I was just a teenager there because we started young. We did the training, kind of our professional training within the newspaper. They sent me to a city called Newcastle. It's about 100 miles north of Sydney. And at that time, and this is the early 80s, it wasn't really the most attractive place for someone from Sydney. And even at that time, I found it very difficult to adjust because, I mean, in one way it was good because you're there in kind of a small bureau and you're getting more opportunities from a professional point of view. But personally, it was very difficult. you know, I wasn't really ready for the move. I didn't feel like I was ready for it, but I didn't have much choice because they said, you're going. You know, when you're young, you pretty much have to go.
How long were you there?
I was only there for about 6 months, but it seemed like 6 years or 60 years. So, I mean, Newcastle's a lot better now than it was back then, you know. So
But you learned a lot of stuff when you were there,
learned,
right?
A lot. I learned a lot. So, you know, it was almost like I was growing up as I you know, continued my career. Talking to Adrian Chu, the career strategist, five things to consider before accepting a transfer overseas. Point number three, watch out for total package / taxes.
Yeah. And, you know, for us Singaporeans especially, we are so used to having a low tax rate. And suddenly if you go overseas, like in China and Shanghai or even in the European countries, and the taxes there could be double.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to watch out. If a company is going to send you over there, are they going to tax equalize you?
Yes, that's very important to check that out, isn't it?
Yeah, and also in terms of the lodging and everything, why are they paying for you, why are they not paying for you? If you're bringing your kids over, you got to figure out education, what, where, how much, when, and even in the bigger scheme of things as well, you know, it's the total package. And I know people who go overseas and they don't mind taking a pay cut because they know that it's good for the exposure. Or maybe it's like moving up to KL.
Yep.
Where things are a bit cheaper. Mm. In fact, they're a lot cheaper.
You've got two bosses to consider, right? You've got the one boss in the office and the other boss in the house.
Yes. So things like that. So you have to consider all those stuff. So you've got to look at the total package in terms of taxes, in terms of benefits and everything, whether it makes sense.
You know, a good one to share here is it wasn't a transfer within a company, but a few years ago, as you know, I accepted a job in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. In fact, I was in Malaysia last week and I've got lots of friends there. But at that time, I looked at the financial package and it was pretty unattractive because I'd been in Singapore for many years. I was in Hong Kong as well. Hong Kong and Singapore, taxes are very low, as you know.
Yeah, that's right.
In Malaysia, they're pushing towards up to 30%, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're getting paid in ringgit.
Yes.
And even at that time, it wasn't as bad as it is now, 3-1. It was around 240, I think, 240 ringgit to one Sing dollar. But I decided to go anyway because it was a way of accelerating my career because I got a lot of responsibility and I was head of a team and was some big step up and it paid off in future. At that time, it was difficult to save a lot of money because you're getting paid in ringgit. I had responsibilities in Singapore, but I did see overall it gave my career a big boost, but not financially initially.
Yeah, but it made sense, right?
It made sense. Yeah, it made sense at that time. Okay, point number four. Is there a return plan or is it going to be a one-way ticket? Yeah. One-way ticket. That was a song, I can remember.
It's a Boney M song.
Yeah, that's right.
Ticket to the moon. Yeah, I know. We are of the same vintage. So. Yeah,
exactly. Do you want a one-way ticket to the moon or are you going to come back to Singapore? That's the question, right?
Yeah, correct. So you need to find out because I've seen before my clients, they have been working in a company for 15, 20 years and then there's an opportunity that comes up, say, in Australia, Uzbekistan, one of the stans.
Kazakhstan, Tajikistan.
Rambutan. But one of those places.
Yeah.
And interestingly, it's not an extension of their job. It's regarded as a contract.
Right.
So what that means is a two-year contract, which means once you're done, there's no guarantee of a job back home.
Yes.
But what is even scarier is that it could be a situation where when at the end of a 2-year contract and you come and they say there's nothing anymore for you, you can't claim any retrenchment benefits because your 15 years prior is gone. It says, sorry, you cut off.
Yes,
that's scary, right? So you've cut off.
So that's a very sneaky way, isn't it, of trying to save money, the company, getting you to do some job no one wants to do in Uzbekistan, right?
Yeah. So you have to watch out in terms of, is it a one-way ticket? Is it a return plan? Mm. And you have to look within your career strategy. So sometimes you have to take a risk if you think it's worthwhile. But whether or not you want to do it, it depends on what you want and what's your bigger plan.
And I guess if it is them trying to get rid of you and give you a 2-year kind of exit, can you use it as a launch pad to go somewhere else?
Yeah, correct. So if you do decide that you want to start up a new business in Uzbekistan, herding cows or something, then maybe you start a yak farm or something. It's fantastic, you know. You just take the 2 years, you go figure out.
Yak farming in Uzbekistan. I never thought we'd be talking about this with Adrian Chu, the career strategist in our Career Crossroads segment. Okay, point number five. How does your family feel about this? What are the implications? And we've touched on this earlier in this chat, haven't we, that you've got, you know, your daughter's in with us today. She's so sweet. She's sitting next to you on, but can you, is she going to like Uzbekistan?
I don't know if she's going to like it. But it's also in regards to whether the wife's going to like it.
Yes.
Because it's like I've had my clients from Europe And when they move into Asia, when they get a Singapore posting, oh, they love it. The wives love it.
Of course.
But when they get a posting somewhere else,
yep.
Into one of the neighboring countries,
yep.
It's not as easy because they don't speak English there, it's security and everything. So a lot of times, if you're moving on to another country, you got to ask yourself, you got to ask your wife. It's a life decision. Ask your wife, is it good? You know, and also with the kids, because the kids have to have an education. And especially for Singaporeans, it's particularly tricky. Because if you have kids, and if you go to a place like the US or where, then it's a different education system.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to think, if the 3 years stint, if I come back, can they integrate back again?
Yeah, going from like a school in Michigan to one back in Tampines may not be easy if you're, you know, you had 3 years in the US.
Correct, and your Mandarin and everything. But if you're like, you know, going to like in Suzhou or some other place where there's a Singapore International School, it isn't that bad in terms of transition. But I've had clients before who have gone overseas and they had to cut their trip back, their stint short, and they had to come back to Singapore, and their kids are like 14. Neither here nor there, and they got to end up paying international school fees.
That's tough. Yeah.
So that's expensive.
You know, when in my personal situation, when we went to Malaysia, it was before I had my daughter, and my wife's from Hong Kong, as you know, and in a way, KL wasn't too bad for her because they speak Cantonese there. Of course, she didn't like it as much as Singapore or as much as Hong Kong, you know, but overall, it wasn't too bad, but there are security issues, convenience issues. It's nothing's as good as Singapore or definitely Hong Kong when it comes to a Hong Kong person. But the Cantonese always helps, right?
Oh, yeah, and the food.
And the food's not bad either.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, we're going to have more from Adrian Chu a little bit later on. Five things to consider before accepting a transfer overseas. Just to summarise, what's the real reason why you'd accept it? Does it help your long-term career? Watch out for local package and taxes. Is there a return plan or is it going to be a one-way ticket, just like the Boney M song? And how does your family feel about this? What are the implications? Up next, Adrian, we're going to get my tips and my war stories. Are you ready for those?
Oh, love it.
All right, this is Money FM. More with Adrian a bit later on.